We bow our head. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for coming to us on this day. We thank you, Lord, that you meet us at the end of some great accomplishments, and you stand with us as we prepare to go forward. Lord, we pray that as we stand in this place right now, preparing ourselves for what comes next, that, Father, we can thank you for always being in the midst. We thank you for always having our backs. We thank you for always being there before we even get there. Lord, we pray that you guide me during this time. As the song says, I give myself away. So please use me. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, today is very apropos for, I thought, the message today, because, again, we're at a time where we're at a great time of celebration. We're at, for all of these graduates, we're at an, in many cases, an end place, you know, or a pause place. You know, it's, they finally completed a certain part of their education, and they're at a point to where they're like, all right, I could take a little bit of a breath, but then I look up and I know I have more stuff to go on. So I thought that maybe I would pull something out that was similar, you know, something where maybe the nations were at the same place and someone had to move forward. And what I thought of was Joshua. Now, Joshua, if you remember, Joshua was the commander over the forces of Israel. And at a certain point in Joshua 23 is when he finally set at rest from war and from occupying the different lands, and he was having the time to sit back and reflect. He was having the time to look back on all that had taken place, and knowing that he was going to be moving on and putting someone else to work to guide the children of Israel, he knew that he had to leave them with something to keep them moving forward. Joshua at this time was probably around 85, 90 years old. So if you look at it, you know, he was about ready to be finished with some of that stuff and for folks to pass on. So I'm not quite that old, young folks. But I can at least be, wait a minute. But I can at least be, you know, maybe that give you that little bit of word to help you to take that look back and look at it for the way that it is. Take a look at where you are to see what's precious there and then give you a little encouragement about moving forward. So I'm going to leave you with the question that I think Joshua was probably asking all of the leaders of Israel at the time. And that question was, have you tried the Lord lately? Have you tried the Lord lately? So let me take you back. Here is Joshua. He's standing in front of the host of all of the leaders of Israel, and he's taking a look back. In these first four or five verses, Joshua's looking back at what Israel has accomplished and what Israel has been through. Joshua being very unique of being a part of the original people that had come out of Israel, not that second generation born. He was a part of that first generation. So he had seen the great deliverance of God. He had also seen some of the people's greatest transgressions. He had seen God's presence talk to the people. And he had also seen God's curses. He had seen them cross over the Jordan and begin to fight for what God had promised. He had seen each and every battle. The great wins, the losses, and ultimately a rest at war. He was able to sit back and kind of look and say, we're actually sitting in the land that God had promised us. I do that look back because that's how, as youth, I know some of you are looking back right now. You're looking back over those past 4 years and you're going, for some of you longer, you know, if you were in grad school or college, you're looking back over that time and you're going, phew, that That was a lot going on. That was a pretty heavy time. I had to get through all of this stuff. And I don't know where the strength came from. But see, Joshua, talking to the Israelites, knew exactly where the strength came from. The first thing he was trying to do as he was orienting them was orient them to where they needed to put their thanks. And that thanks was to the presence of God. Because Joshua knew that in every step that they made, every success that they made, God was right there. And as long as they depended on where he was, as long as they saw his presence, they were able to see all of the blessings and all of the things that he got them through. God had given him rest, and he had seen all of those transgressions, and yet they had, at no point did he ever fail. At no point were they ever left by themselves. Sometimes looking back is an obsessive time. We kind of look back, or I can say from my perspective, I kind of look back at times and I look at some of the successes that I've had, and I've had a few. But in most cases, I look back and I go, well, I could have done this a little bit better. I could have done that a little bit better. I'm in this place, maybe not. And we don't necessarily see all the good that took place. We don't see all the places where we walked one way and we just didn't realize that God had already taken something out of our way that could have harmed us. We sometimes look at the successes that we have and we go, eh. And we don't realize just how important those things were. That the strength that we got and the things that we were able to endure in order to do that was blessed, was given to us and blessed us, were blessings for us. And we discount how important they are, not just to what happened then, but how important they're going to be with what you're going to do forward. They're a part of that strength foundation you need to keep moving, to keep walking forward, to keep climbing that mountain. We forget the promises made to us from the beginning. We forget the strides that we made from freshman to senior. We discount all the battles that somehow we came on top of. We forget the prayers that we prayed, the fast that we tried, the counsels that we got, the whispers that we heard. We forget that God never forsook us. Too often our past becomes a place to assign blame and validation for our failures. But we have to see our redemptions. We have to see our deliverance. Remember God's faithfulness, because the task is not yet done. It's just pause. If we can just stay in our looking back to see how, where God was, maybe we can orient ourselves to where he is now. Once you recognize where God is, then you can begin to immerse yourself in him. We have two places that we can grab from in life that we need. We start with ourselves in the world, or we can go with God. Now, when we start with the world, we're really looking at doing everything in and of our own strength. And in that, success can come. But when we start with that dependence, sometimes it leaves us with a lion's share of the burdens. It leaves us with doubts in our purpose and in our abilities and in our strengths. And we go inward and become depressed and anxious. We tire and we stumble. In the 6th through the 12th verse, Joshua saw some of those same things in the Israelites. He saw where they had problems. He saw where they made missteps. He saw how, you know, sometimes they could get a little bit tricked. He saw how sometimes they could be influenced by people that don't have their best interest at heart. As a youth, you know how that happens. You know, there's always people around, some that want to be by our side and some that don't. Some that are kind of using us to get as far as they can get. And then as soon as they get there, they throw us to the side. There's some that are using us as the stepping stone to get to where the next place is. But see, God wants us to, in that time, take that second road, which was to take him. Well, how does that look? What really is that? And I got to take this jacket off. What is that? That part of it, it took me some time to figure out. There's a scripture in Zechariah 4:6, and it says, not by power, not by might, but by his spirit. When you look at that scripture and you hear that and you're taking that as instruction, as a youth, you're sitting there like, well, why would I want to be without one or the other? I mean, when you start to talk about might, what are you talking about? Might, for the most part, is, if you think about nations, this is their strength. This is their power. This is their military power. You know, this is how they get things done. If you don't want to do what I want you to do, I got the force behind me to make it happen. Might is very important. A nation without might is really a nation that's going to get pushed over and pushed to the side. Now, a nation with power. Oh, see, power is about influence. Power is about, you know, I can make you do what I want you to do, or I can figure out a way around it so you do exactly what I want you to do anyway. Is power possible to have might without power, but not possible to have power without might? In school, you see both of those. Might might be in a person's size. Might might be in a person's intelligence. Power might be in their influence. They might be captain of the football team, or they might be the head of the SGA, or they might be, you know, somebody that's of economic influence, and because of that, you know, everybody kind of follows them. Might and power alone can get some things done, but they're limiting. I can get some stuff done with power. I can get some stuff done with might, but I can't encompass everything. So when I'm trying to go through and get everything done, there's always a little bit missing. When I read that about in that scripture, I still didn't understand it. It was still kind of foreign to me. I was like, I got one. I got the other. What's the spirit part? I didn't get it. And then I had this dream. And I had this dream about this $50 million Powerball. Okay. I did not get the numbers. I looked. But, it was just this $50 million Powerball. And I dreamed about, if I got that, I'd be able to take care of everything that I'd be able to take care of. I could take care of my family. I could take care of my church. I could take care of, do some of my own dreams. Yeah, I got you, George. I'd be able to take care of a lot of things. And in that dream, everything seemed to be kind of positive and really cool. But there was this gnawing that was always there. Now, understand, this is a dream that happened over many, many, many months. So I was like, it was always there. I'm driving in my car and this image would come back to my head and that gnawing would still be there. And I'm like, well, what's this gnawing? What's this piece that I'm missing? Well, see, the gnawing was that even with it, there was something missing. Not everything is taken care of. You might get that, but all of a sudden you lose some of your influence. I would have these visions of talking in front of people and trying to relate something that I thought was useful, and them, I could see their thought bubbles. And it's like, yeah, but you got there because of the money. You don't really know what the struggle is like. And I'm like, but I have everything. It's like, no, you're missing a piece. So the gnawing kept going. It kept going. I'm like, I just don't get it. I don't get it. Till one day I'm cutting my lawn, and my favorite song, I'm listening to my headphone. My favorite song comes on. I am. Let me read you a couple of the words of this song. I am the Lord, the Almighty God. I am the one for whom nothing is too hard. I am the shepherd and I am the door. I am the good news to the bound and the poor. I am the righteous one and I am the lamb. I am the ram in the bush for Abraham. I am the ultimate sacrifice for sin. I am your redeemer, the beginning and the end. I am Jehovah. I am the king. I am Messiah, David's offspring. I am your high priest and I am the Christ. I am the resurrection and I am the light. I am the bread and I am the wine. I am your future, so leave your past behind. I am the one in the midst of two or three. I am your tabernacle. I am your jubilee. I am your hope. I am your peace, your joy, and your rest. I'm your comfort and relief from your stress. I am strength. I am faith. I am love. I am power. I am your freedom this very hour. And that's when it hit me. You see, when you take on the Spirit of God, you take on all of what he is. All right, John, get it. When you take on the Spirit of God, you take up all of what he is. In other words, everything that you are in need of, he is. You get it? Everything that you are in need of, he is. So if you're having need, if you're feeling that you're not smart enough, where is the biggest source of intelligence? He is. If you're having a need where you're feeling like you don't have enough confidence, where is the biggest source of confidence? He is. If you have a need where you feel like you don't know where your path is going, well, who knows every path, has created every map, has put down the very foundations of the world, so he knows how to get from A to Z and every place in between. He is. You see, if you can take yourself and envelop yourself and embrace yourself in who God is, then you are embracing yourself in all that he is, all that he has, and all that he has selected for you to have. Being in him allows for you to be the fullest part of who you are. If you align yourself with God, you align yourself with the right allies to do what it is that you need to do. All you're looking to do is to be in sync with him. I mean, just think about it. When you're in sync with God, how else can you fail? When you're in sync with God, that's what puts you in lockstep moving towards the goal that he has for you to go. When you're in sync with God, that's what puts you in the standing, in the right standing of what you need to be. Nobody can't tell you you're nothing. Nobody can't tell you that, oh, you're not good enough. Don't you realize who I'm walking with? Don't you know where my backing is? You know, so many people would love to be able to walk out and say, yes, I have the backing of the United States government. And I can walk into anywhere and do what I want. But guess what? I got the backing of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Not only can I do what I need to do, that all power is available to me. As a youth, you have nothing less than what I have. The same power that I have is available to you. All you got to do is move in step with him. Amen. If you're unsure about some things, move in step with him. It's like, hey, I'm not quite sure which way I want to go, but I'm just going to follow you. And whatever it is, I'm sure that you're going to put me in the right place. Amen. That unsurety isn't uncommon. Trust me, we all have it. Amen. I saw it at 18. I saw it at 35. I see it at 49 at times. It is all there. But It's worse when I turn myself away from where God is. Notice I did not say when God walks away from me. Don't let anybody tell you that. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. Which when I kind of turn my head, go, yeah, this way looks good. See, that's what Joshua was talking about, is following those other gods that were in the land. He was saying, when you turn your eyes away from the king that is from the king, that's when you start to stray. When you turn your eyes away from the path that God has laid out for you, or you just turned out from him, that's when it starts to get a little bit harder. You know, I have forever thought that I didn't have the greatest testimony. That, you know, it just wasn't as other people. You know? But again, I didn't look at from the other perspective. Maybe I haven't been through some of the things that other folks have been through because he's pretty much been there all my life. And I've recognized him really early. So there were certain things where it was just roads that just didn't go down. Amen. And that's okay. Amen. There are others that just didn't see him. They didn't know he was there. They just didn't know. And that's okay. But when they did see him, all of a sudden their wife took that turn in Albuquerque. Okay, if you're a Bugs Bunny fan, you know what that is. How young are you? Okay? That right turn at Albuquerque that he always missed. Okay? Well, I'm asking you to take that right turn at Albuquerque. Because when you take that right turn, oh my gosh, where it is that you end up. Santa Fe? That's all right. So what I want to do is I want to dare you. I want to dare you. I want to dare each and every youth, whether you graduated or not. I want to dare you. I want to dare you to just try God. You know how they, you know, had samples at Costco? You know, you just, if you like it, you know, you'll probably buy one or two. Just try. Just try and see what he's got. Just try. Taste a little bit of the appetizer that is that there. I guarantee you, you're going to want to go back for more. Yes. Just try. As you're starting to have a little bit of struggles in life, watch and see how he makes those pathways straight. Just trying. When the indecision is starting to go off in your head and you're starting to feel like, just trying and see where he starts to point you. There is nothing that he doesn't know. But walking with God is all that. Walking with God is walking with someone who will never fail you. Walking with God ensures that you walk in a favor, so that the effort that is put forth does not have to be your own, all your own. When you hit your next place in life, yes, you have some great things to achieve, but the measure of them should not be measured in a matrix of money, success, power, or might. It should be measured in how in sync you and God are becoming. The more in sync, the closer you are to your perfect destiny. The more in sync, the promises you can lay your hands on will be fulfilled. The more in sync, the more strength you have to endure. The more in sync, the more fruits you will produce. And the more fruitful you are, the more you will nourish the earth around you and the people around you. Just trust his voice. He is intentional. He was, He is and always will be intentional about you. Just try Him today. Amen.